I like that song that Cleveland Derricks wrote. Did you know that? When Have a Little Talk with Jesus. He was an African American. Didn't sing his song for quite some time, but then recorded it. And what a great song. I enjoy a lot of the songs. We've tried to feature those on radio and television now in my 48th year. I believe those kinds of songs are not good because they're old. They're old because they're good. Anybody that approaches our style of singing with an open mind and likes harmony singing, you're going to enjoy it. And we kind of came up in the singing business, so to speak. When I was young, we were in quartets, and I tell people that I get a lot of requests and then sing anyway. But my dad taught the old shape note music, if any of you know what I'm talking about, where you learn it by the shape, like a triangle is do, half moon is ray, and fa is like a flag, and so on. And that's how we learn to sing it. Bill Gaither, that I know he doesn't live far from us, he knows it pretty well on the CDEFAGBC. So anyway, I love it. Thank you for singing tonight. Brother Bacino, thank you for leading the singing. Is everybody feeling good tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Are you feeling just as good as you look tonight? Amen. All right. Well, Shirley and I want to thank you again. I don't know that we've ever been in a more hospitable place. My son has heard of it, and he's already asking. He said, Dad, how could I get in up there to preach? So Brother Bacino may be beseeched with other calls. He may want his phone to be unlisted or something, but you all are beautiful people, and I mean that. I love this area, and I don't know that we've been treated any nicer, with more hospitality, with more generosity than you folks have, and I do appreciate it. Let me just say this tonight. You need to get this book before you leave, because the doors are securely guarded. You can't get out with one of these tonight. I don't ever do this, but this book here is Safe, Family, and Freedom. We've given them to congressmen and all. Sorry, I can't give them. We are now up to where the price is almost prohibitive. We're thinking about maybe just not trying to do anymore. Just printing costs have gone up. But if you like graphs, charts, essays, every picture is beautifully crafted to hold your attention. If you want to know about the Black Robe Brigade, or if you want to know about the Declaration or the Constitution, that's in there. I went down here to Sherman today, the town that was named after Roger Sherman. How many of you know something about Roger Sherman? I mean, I'd like to. Well, I was hoping it would go over a little bit better. Roger Scheumann, he signed four documents. The thing said the Articles of Commission, then he did the Declaration. He was one of five. Then he did the Articles of Confederation, and then the Constitution. Now, you all know who were part of the group to write the Declaration, don't you? Yeah, you know, you these ladies, you could ask them anything. They know it all. And so Benjamin Franklin was the oldest, born in 1706. John Adams from Massachusetts was 43. Thomas Jefferson from Virginia was 34. And then Mr. Livingston was from up in New York. And Roger Sherman from the great state of Connecticut. And it was an honor today to go and see the area that where he lived. Tonight I have a special message for you. And I don't want anybody. I was traveling with a friend one time, and Brother Bacino, they asked him, they said, Brother Bill, would you like a cup of coffee? And he said, oh, no. He said, it might keep me awake. So I hope tonight that we don't put you to sleep or whatever. I preached somewhere, and a guy told me, he said, that message was warm. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, it wasn't too hot. Well, so I hope tonight that we can hold your attention for just a little while. I don't know. Everybody has their own way, but I don't like real long messages. I just don't. I don't know why. My attention span or whatever. You know, when you get older, you have chemical imbalances. You get to thinking this and that, but that's just the way it goes. I don't know. I think I told you I'm at the point in my life where I remember a lot of things that happened and some that didn't. But I hope tonight that I can see some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if I told you this story, but I'm going to tell it on Shirlene this morning. This morning, I said, babe, come here and look at the window. I said, there is a beautiful river down there. And Shirlene said, yeah. I said, it is pretty. She said, oh, love. She said, there are beehives down there. I said, there are. She said, oh, yeah. I said, I see a smoker. And what it was, two lawn chairs were sitting up down there. So Shirley's expected to go out tonight and have a crust of honey waiting on us when we get there. I don't know what kind of medicine she was taking, but it looked like it was coming out of a jug or something. That old boy, he went to school and he went to church, and the Sunday school teacher, she said, son, said that, I ever tell you about the time when Joshua made the sun stand still? He said, ma'am, did I ever tell you about the time when Grandpa made the moon shine still? But anyway, we're having a little fun tonight. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Judges, chapter number 2. Go to the book of Judges right after Joshua, Judges chapter 2, and I'm going to preach tonight for the benefit of the young people. So the rest of you that are very old, just go ahead and go to sleep. But anyway, in Judges chapter 2 tonight, starting at verse 6, the Bible said, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gosh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. O Lord, help us tonight to be at our best for you, in Jesus' name, and amen. I believe in every generation, Socrates complained about the youth in his day. I know things have changed, the culture. The culture is the arts, the literature, the music. Child rearing has changed. We didn't know what time out was really when I was growing up. I remember the story of the boy that he and his friend went around the neighborhood down in our area, and they pushed over all of the outhouses, and the dad found out about it. And he said, son, you and I have got a meeting in the woodshed. He said, oh, Dad, before you get drastic, he said, I want you to know, I've been studying in school about how that George Washington supposedly cut down that cherry tree, and when he told the truth, his dad wouldn't whip him. He said, yes, but George's dad wasn't in the cherry tree. Now, this may be as good as it gets tonight. I don't know. But anyway, let me bear with you here just for a moment. I am now headed towards my 9th decade. It doesn't seem possible that Miss Shirley and I will soon be married 60 years. A lot of things go, and Some of you, Brother Roy, and lost his precious wife a few years back, maybe about 6 years ago, and some of you know the loss of a spouse and the loss of a child. But I tell you, the Bible said that our lives are faster than a weaver's shuttle. They're like a vapor. They're like a flower. It's not going to be very long until you'll be up in my age group. You'll have hair that's my color. Some of you may already have it. I don't know. You can't judge it by ladies anymore. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. That one lady asked her husband, she said, honey, she said, will you love me when I've got wrinkles and my hair's starting to get gray, and I already do. And so, that's kind of where we are. I guess tonight, if I could do this, I want to hit these little things right here. If you'd like to take a note, you don't have to. Maybe you can just listen real well. I think over the course of these generations that we've had, when I think about the age of this beautiful church here, 266 years, I believe, I wonder, is there a generation that's come after us that doesn't know the Savior? Doesn't know who He is? Doesn't know why we worship or why we go to church? There are a lot of people today that really believe I'm a pretty good person. I serve perhaps our country. I've been fraternities or I do social work. I'm not saying ill of any of that. I salute every veteran when I can and thank them for their service. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ told a good man, you must be born again. Unless you have experienced a new birth, heaven is not your final abode. That's just the way it is. Jesus Christ went to an old rugged cross, bore His own body, our sins on the tree, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He will not hold you guiltless and non-accountable if you trample under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and do despite to the Spirit of grace and count it an unholy thing. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate asked that question. He said, what is truth? Didn't know that he was standing in the very personification of truth. Jesus Christ is all truth. He's all perfect. He's all righteous. He's all holy. Somebody say amen right there. Amen, amen. I believe there are a lot of people today that don't know our Christian heritage. Patrick Henry said this country wasn't founded by religionists, but it was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woodrow Wilson said America was born a Christian nation. I believe it was Andrew Jackson, the 7th president, said the Bible is the foundation of this republic. Did you know that Rutherford B. Hayes would not allow any drinking at the White House and wanted hymns sung in the evening time? We've gone a long way from when George Washington wanted the Bible and added "So help me God" to it. I'm telling you that April the 12th, 1945, when they told Harry Truman that Franklin Roosevelt was dead, Harry Truman said, I felt like the stars and the moon had fallen on my shoulders. And he kissed the Bible. I'm here to tell you today, we need political people today that still revere this Bible. Many people have forgotten the Savior. Secondly, many people have forgotten the Scriptures. They think now today, we're in a day and time today when people are so erudite and scholarly. They have enough degrees to look like a thermometer. And they think that because of that, we need a different Bible. What do you think would happen if I went over here to your English teacher and I said, Miss English teacher, Julius Caesar is just too hard, Shakespeare's play. Where in the play where Cassius, the conspirator, looks at Brutus, the nobleman, and says, me thinkest thou doest protest too much. Let's change that, Miss English teacher. Let's just say, lighten up, dude. She'd say, do you like to wear clothes that have stripes on them? She'd say, How many french fries are you short of a happy meal? She would look at you askance and say, I teach Shakespeare. But yet today, we feel like we can correct God's Word. I'm glad that I'm not a Bible corrector. I'm glad that it corrected me. Amen. Amen. So many people today, they don't like the Bible. They put out this version. Let me tell you something. If they're different, they can't all be the same. I asked a fellow not long ago, I said, would you sign 100 different contracts to sell your home? He looked at me like I'd lost it. You know, when people look at you askance, you can tell if they're thinking that your marbles have been depleted just a little bit. You know, we had people like that everywhere. You know, we had folks like that down home. I told you about the guy that went squirrel hunting, came back and told his neighbor, said, if you can get so many squirrels I've got in this bag, I'll give you both of them. Now, I'm here to tell you today there are a lot of people that have forgotten the Scriptures. I believe this Bible here tells me that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Brother Bacino. I believe this Bible needs to be studied. What do you say about it? Let me tell you something. Nicodemus in the Bible is not a cure for correcting smoking. Okay? Nicodemus is there for a reason. Not only have we had another generation that doesn't know anything about the Savior and the Scriptures, but they don't know anything about our monuments. They could care less. You know, I got to looking at something yesterday. It kind of depressed me. I thought about going and getting a bottle of Xanax or something. I was afraid I might take them all. You know what I saw? It said that within 100 years, if the Lord doesn't come, all of us will be forgotten. The houses that we live in and keep, Shirley was talking tonight. She said, these lawns up here are manicured. We like the dormers. We like that kind of look. We'd like to have it on our house. We had a guy where we lived said he liked the carpet that he had in his bathroom so well he thought he'd run it into the house. So, you see, I guess what I'm trying to say here, the monuments, why is it that all of a sudden across the nation we're trying to take down the monuments of those that worked hard and did the best they could? I'm here to tell you, I'm not for this wokeism and this cancel culture. I salute the brave men and women that wore the uniform of this country, that stood in harm's way. I'm a patriot. Mark Twain said in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. I don't know if you know it or not. You ought to look up what it costs the men that signed the Declaration of Independence. Those that lost property and lost their lives and all like that. Did you know that final paragraph says, with a firm reliance upon the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor? They weren't lily-livered. They weren't men that carried purses. You know, you don't want to say anything today about a man, what he wears. He may hit you with his purse. Oh, yeah. Boy, I tell you what, our young ladies today, you're looking for a boyfriend today. You may have to look for a while. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, some of these guys here today, you know, when I fly a lot, I saw something today may make me want to drive home Thursday. How that the planes are having more mishaps and so on. But you go through an airport today, my, you see some funny looking people. I always try to find out if there is a U.S. Marshal on board. I don't mind to sit in his lap. from the people that I see on there. I mean, wild, woolly looking people. I mean, they look like they have just arrived. It's making me believe in these alien stuff. I think they came here and we don't know it. They're here. Some of them live in Washington, D.C. Oh, yeah, they do up there. Some of them have lied so much that they started believing the truth. They said they found two of those guys the other day up there, and they said it was so cold in D.C., they found them with their hands in their own pocket. Our monuments have been kind of set aside. I don't know about you. I don't agree maybe with everything that everybody does, but I think General Lee was a pretty good man. I think he was a Christian man. Do I believe in slavery? No way. But he was fighting for his beloved state. I think that Stonewall Jackson, from what I could understand, wouldn't even eat too much bread and honey. He was afraid he'd get addicted to it. I'm telling you, we've had some good people in our past. We've had some patriots. We've had some men that stood for this country today. I hate to see this effeminate crowd try to take over. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're living in a very, very perplexing time. It's kind of like I told the girls over there at the restaurant today. I said, I sure wouldn't want to do dishes here. I said, man, they'd be set up to the ceiling. I said, you guys have to get a midget to do this? The guy said, no, we came up short on that one. But he told that one guy, that young fellow, he said, why don't you stand up? He said, I am. Well, you see, we have forgotten our monuments. We have forgotten the godly sacrifices. The Bible said, and another generation arose which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I wonder today, our young people today, there's a lot of them, a four-letter word they don't like to use, W-O-R-K. They don't like that word. You know, it's better to go for a handout or something. Let me tell you something. Not only have we forgotten our Savior, the Scriptures, but we've also been led about salvation. I want to say this, and I don't believe Brother Bacino will get too mad at me. Just reciting a prayer does not take you to heaven. You could hold a gun on a man and get him to recite a prayer. I'm simply saying this. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's our faith. Now, I'm not against people crying. I'm not against people reciting a prayer, if that's what they need to do. But I'm just simply saying this. Nobody gets saved until they first get lost. Amen. If you put me off in one of these forests over here, I got thinking today about that. I don't know why I was having that weird thought. You know, way over where all these trees are, man, I got thinking, what in the world would I do? I'd probably scream until my throat was raw. Somebody help me. Help me. I'd be asking Shirlene if there were any beehives that we could detect or anything. Maybe if she could see a smoker somewhere. But the point is today, there are a lot of people that are lost with their names on a church book. Reciting the catechism, the Apostles' Creed, does not get the job done. Mary cannot save you. Only faith in the only begotten Son of God. He's the only one that can do it. Do you like that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen here. Not only that, but let me get into this last one for just a few minutes. We have forgotten our standards. I think morals have kind of gone by the way. I believe Brother Schott or somebody was telling me about over in Vermont, maybe how people can go to various places with no clothes on. I heard about it. They say if you leave the house that way, you can get away with it. But you're not supposed to do it after you leave the house. Boy, that really had, some legislators really have a high IQ over there, don't they? It'd take an IQ of 4 and it given to them before it even registered. Oh my, I detest all of that nonsense. How about you today? And you know the thing of it is, probably in most of our communities, there may be people, if they had that opportunity, would subscribe to that philosophy. We may know people that might do it. The time will come, the Bible said that they'll wax worse and worse. They'll be seduced by seducing spirits. They'll give to the doctrine of devils. The time will come when we'll turn against our friend in the Middle East. Israel, the greatest democracy and the best friend we had. God said over in Genesis 12, He said, I'll bless those that bless thee. I'll curse those that curse thee. I'm telling you, America better stand with the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that all with all my heart. I believe in the Abrahamic covenant. Now, let's go down to this one here about standards. Now, I don't know about you. I'm reluctant to ever mention it because people think you're meddling, that it's none of your business. But I'm telling you, folks, we can do better. We can do better. And we should do better. We ought to have standards that we subscribe to. They say a man in the Civil War was carrying the flag. They called him the flag bearer or the standard. And somehow he got shot. And a voice said, bring the standard back here. And voices from up said, no, you come up to the standard. I think there ought to be standards, don't you? I don't know about you. I just can't do it. I'm not into the contemporary movement. I'm too old. I can't wear those skinny type pants. And now you, I'm kind of like that guy that told me in Tennessee. He said their zoo had closed down. I said, what happened? He said both of our chickens died. Well, anyway, we're living in a day and time when people have seemingly given in to these last days. I believe the Bible lets me know, and I'm not here to run anybody down. I believe that the things are going to wax worse and worse before the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. But I tell you what, church, here tonight, I believe there is a challenge. There is a challenge out here. You see, in most churches, I'll tell you how they go. They give up on their music. Then they give up on the message. And then they give up on the name. We got churches back where we live. I couldn't tell you what they believe. We got one church called the Broken Church. We got one called the Jar. I don't know if you have the Jar. Or I guess you have people that can come apart. People would be broken if they went to the Jar, wouldn't they? We have all kinds of names. We got one called Urban Lights. And I'm thinking to myself, what does that mean, urban lights? Lights that are urban. Friends, let me tell you something here. I'm not saying that being a Baptist saves you, but if you're going to go to heaven, you ought to go first class. Maggie, you liked that, didn't you? My point is this, and I'm about through. I think that our generation, it gives me an opportunity. That's why I want to go on more television. That's why I want to reach out more. I'm not an expert in anything. You know that. I'm a fried bologna kind of a guy. I do. I got 2 cans of Vienna sausage today. I was afraid I was going to get anemic. You can't be eating all this salads and pasta and all kind of stuff like that. We didn't know anything about any of that. I didn't know what a pizza was until I was about 14 years of age. It was pinto beans, cornbread, fried taters, stuff like that that's good for you. I mean, your arteries may get Claude, but that just means you go to heaven sooner. You don't want to stay here forever, do you? Why eat all that stuff that's good for you and take vitamins, all like that? Just go get you a can of Beanie Weenies. Have at them. I honestly thought I'd bring a can tonight, but I thought everybody would get jealous seeing me eat it. So I'm going to wait till I... But listen, the Bible said, and I'm through, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he'd done for Israel. Here God had brought the people across the Red Sea. They'd been in the desert for 40 years, and even their shoes didn't get worn out, did they, Brother Bassino? They'd wandered. They'd been in captivity 400 years. I kind of feel like old John Bunyan standing there at Bedford, England. And Judge Walker was presiding, and he said, Mr. Bunyan, he said, if you'd quit preaching, I think we could let this sentence go. John Bunyan had been arrested. You know what he was arrested for? He had preached in a friend's house that had service. And now he's going to jail. And he told him again, he said, Mr. Bunyan, he said, you've got a blind daughter at home. Why don't you consider her? He said, only a fool would try to preach without a license. And John Bunyan said, God called me. I've got to preach. He said, if you won't recant, he said, then I think, ladies and gentlemen, we've heard the last of John Bunyan. Didn't know that John Bunyan in a prison would find little pieces of chalk. And he'd take the paper from his milk carton or milk jug, and he would write one of the greatest stories ever written, Pilgrim's Progress. How that a man by the name of Christian was on his way to that celestial city, and he met people like Mr. Worley, Wise Man, and other. But heaven was his gain and his goal, and I'm here to tell you tonight, that's where I'm going one of these days. I may never get to come back here, but I'll tell you one thing. I can meet you on the Elysian shore. I can meet you where there'll be no sad parties, no sad days. I'm going to a land where there's no clouded skies. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Bassino.
Well, there's no cutting to the chase there tonight, amen. He's telling it like it is. I think most of us that members here, we agree wholeheartedly. We recognize we're living in the day of the Laodicea church. And as Brother Andrew was preaching tonight, it made me think of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They're disobedient to everybody now. You turn the news on, you see these hoods going through Nordstrom and all these stores, and they figure, hey, they can steal up to $950, and they're not going to have to face any charge. That's the time we live in. Good is evil, and evil is good. Wokeism is just Satanism repackaged. You know, instead of Satan chasing people away now, he uses wokeism to deceive. It's a delusion. Kind of interesting to me that the church is not railing against it, because if you're so woke, why do you take the name of God Almighty in vain? Amen? That's okay with the woke crowd. It's okay to blaspheme the Lord Jesus if you're in woke. If you're woke, you know, we got to get rid of every statue that just teaches our history, because that's a sin. But taking the name of Christ and blaspheming the Son of God isn't a sin. It's just wokeism, is Satanism, just repackaged. Because that's what the devil is. Amen, brother? Amen. He camouflages everything.
Oh, yeah.
Bible says in the generation that brother preached about, generation that doesn't know God will be without natural affection.
Yes.
That's everywhere, isn't it?
Right.
Truth breakers, false right. accusers,
incontinent,
fierce, despisers of those that are good.
Amen.
You know what that's saying? The day is coming, and maybe it's already here. You do something for the Lord. You love the Lord. You go to church. You're considered some kind of crazy nut. I'd rather be a nut for Jesus. As David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than feast with the wicked.
Amen.
He said that in the latter days there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we Christians ought to be very, very careful about that, because too often Christians today are apathetic. They're pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding creatures. If it's too hard, we don't want to do it. And we wonder why things like wokeism are taking over, because we're not willing to make the sacrifices that need to be made. We need to have a generation that's going to stand up for God. And then it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I know God spoke to your heart tonight in some way. Don't let that be fleeting. Put it into action. Pray that God will give you a boldness to stand up. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be people who are angry. And God certainly doesn't want us to hate people. We have to be gracious and we have to love people.
Amen.
We certainly don't accept sin. You know, Jesus, he took the adulterer and he said, who is here to cast the last stone? Cast a stone. And neither do I. And he said, go, but what? Sin no more. So he didn't condone sin, but he didn't hate the sinner. The sinner needed to be saved. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Don't look around. Just say to yourself, am I saved? If I die tonight going home, God forbid, but none of us know the day or hour of death. Will I be absent from the body, present with Almighty God? Will I have a place in heaven? You can. And this brother preached it hard tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And it's not about a prayer. There's no magic prayer. I like what you said tonight.
No.
There's too many churches doing that now. Brother, just pray this prayer.
No, yes,
you're not saved that way. Don't fall into that trap. And don't fall into doing that to others. It's got to be from your heart. You got to want it.
Amen.
And you got to repent.
Amen.
Say, oh God, I'm sick of this life. I don't want it anymore. And he will save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You can't save yourself. Some people think, well, gee, if I just wait a little longer, I'll turn over a new leaf. You can't get better to get saved. You got to get saved to get better.
Amen.
You'll never get better until you do get saved.
Right.
Why? Because an unsaved person possesses a dead spirit. And if that spirit dies without Christ, it will be separated from God forever. We don't like to hear the word hell, but that's what the Bible says. But God did not create hell for you. He created it for the fallen angels. But where is he going to send those that blaspheme the name of God, that spurn the grace of God, that deny the blood of deity for salvation? Where is he to send them? Again, are you saved? And if not, you can be tonight. Let's have every head bowed and your eyes closed. And let's just for a few minutes talk to God. Father, thank you for our preacher tonight and the message you laid on his heart. Just reinforces what we know as believers here, that we are living in the last days and we are seeing a generation that is taking over, as it were, our very nation. It doesn't have to be this way. Our brother preached, we can have better if we're just willing to stand up and pay the price and make a difference. Oh God, pour out your spirit upon your church. Embolden us. Help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Lord God, if there's someone here tonight who He's not absolutely sure if they die to go to heaven. May they not leave this building until they're absolutely sure that they're born again. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also. Don't you want to be with the Lord Jesus? Oh God, save that soul that may be nearest hell. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke to your heart and you want to come and kneel here at the front. There are cushions to sit and kneel and pray. If God spoke to you to be saved, why don't you come down and meet with our brother Andrew and then we'll talk with you. Let me ask you tonight, how many can raise your hand and say, I know when I die I'm going to heaven? See your hand. Just about everybody in the building, amen. And so we're dealing primarily tonight with those who know the Lord, but what are you doing for the Lord? God wants this church to be powerful and strong, because by His Spirit it is. But if we're not activating the gifts of the Spirit, how can the church grow? And so I challenge you to be part and parcel in the ministry of your local church. Father, I thank you for those who raised their hands tonight. I ask you, Lord, to just lay upon our hearts to do the work that you've called us to do, to be faithful to our calling, to be faithful to the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen this gentleman tonight and his wife, even at the age of 81, continuing to fulfill, Father, the ministry that you called them to. There's no retirement from the Lord's work. May we continue to be bold and brave, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in